The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who do you say that I am? No, really, who do you say that I am? I've been here for about 6 months now. I want to know what you've been saying. Who do you say that I am? A part of me would love to find out. A part of me is really scared to ask that question. Who do you say that I am? You know, it's a question that Jesus wrestled with as well. I mean, Jesus turned to his closest disciples, his closest friends, really, the people he spent every moment with, and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And his closest friends listed a bunch of dead guys from the past. "Well, I think you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Well, when I'm with my closest friends and I ask them, "Who do you say that I am?" I sure hope they don't list a bunch of dead guys. Though with humor aside, we really do this with our families, don't we? "Who do you say that I am?" I remember as a kid, many of my older adults in my life said that I look like Grandpa Frank. I never met Grandpa Frank. I only met pictures or saw pictures of Grandpa Frank, and I sure prayed as a kid that I didn't get his ears. So who do you say that I am? It's a game that a lot of our families have played, right? I mean, every time there's a baby born, "Oh, they look like this person. Oh, they look like that person." And it's really about identity, isn't it? I mean, it's an honor when a baby is born to ask that question and to connect them to their family. But Jesus is asking a deeper question. Who do you say that I am? And so Jesus' disciples, when they answered the question again, they listed a bunch of dead guys. They said, "Well, maybe, well, John the Baptist wasn't dead at that point, but you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But notice when they answered that question from Jesus, they didn't say, "Jesus, you are meek and mild. You're gentle. You're cozy like a friend. You're a buddy of all." No. They labeled Jesus, their friend, as a mover and a shaker. I mean, they labeled him as one who wasn't going to follow the rules, like the purity codes that I mentioned last Sunday in the sermon. They labeled Jesus like that wild prophet of the Old Testament. The wild prophet of the Old Testament who stood up and spoke fearlessly to the world that was oppressing others. That's how they labeled Jesus. Not this gentle, kind man that often we associate with Jesus. You see, N.T. Wright says this, that Jesus wasn't just God's mouthpiece. Jesus was God's Messiah. He just wasn't a mouthpiece, a blowhorn. He was the Messiah. I mean, so Jesus pushed his disciples to see if they comprehend his role for the world. And Peter shares that great confession. I mean, we know Peter in the gospel. There's times he's really faithful and there's times he's really not faithful. And so in our gospel lesson this morning, I really don't know how to read Peter's statement of faith. Is there hesitation in his voice when he answers Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God"? Or does Peter say it with gusto? And I think all the time we say that he says it with gusto, that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that it's a statement of faith. Well, this last week, a lot of our young people are back at school. Our elementary, middle school, high school, yay. And we have a lot of college students that have been moving in over the weekend or this last week, and they start school this week as well. I mean, the question that Jesus offered his disciples is often a question we ask in moments in our lives where there is a transition. I've done that. In a moment of transition, who do you say that I am? I mean, all those students who are going through those new doors, who are meeting new teachers, who are meeting new professors and seeing these new faces, I wonder if they're saying, who do these new faces say that I am? And I wonder if our teachers and our professors are saying the same thing. As those new students sit in those chairs, who do you guys say that I am? What are they saying about me? And this is really what Jesus was asking. He's asking about the gossip train, right? What are y'all saying? But his question that Jesus offers up is about identity. Who are we? And in the gospel, Jesus was addressing his identity. He was looking at his closest friends and saying, do you guys know me? Do you know the real me? Not just the me that everybody else thinks I am, but do you know me? It's a beautiful question, isn't it? Do you know me? You see, who Jesus is a question that the world has struggled with for centuries. I mean, even in the early church, they struggled to say that Jesus was fully human or fully human and fully God. There's many people that really struggle. It's like, well, if Jesus is God, he can't be a human being. So we have struggled to ask and answer that question, who is Jesus? I mean, if I ask 15 different people here, who do you say Jesus is, that very question, I wonder the diversity of answers that we might bring forth. Who is this Jesus? Well, defining Jesus has been one role of the church through the centuries, isn't it? This has been one place where we have come together to say, this is Jesus, or this isn't Jesus. And I truly welcome you and invite you to this congregation called Trinity Lutheran, where it's a place where it can help you define who Jesus is, where it's a place where you can wonder who this Jesus is. It's a place where you can ask the question, who do you say Jesus is? And so in our reading from Isaiah, verse 4, it says, listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for teaching will go out from me, and my justice for light to all the peoples. For teaching will go out from me. And this is the reason why we have Sunday school, why we have confirmation, why we have Bible studies. We come together in these different ways as a congregation to learn about our God, to learn about the stories, and to wonder how that story continues to be told, not just for today, but for tomorrow and when our lives are no longer here. I mean, we have those moments because those who've been touched by God want to share that story with those in their lives, right? I mean, that's why we have Sunday school teachers and Bible study leaders. They feel that and they want to share that. And through all those ministries, those teachers are simply just pointing to someone called Christ. That's what teachers do, right? They point to something so that we can see it differently. So they can give us a different lens that we had before. And I wonder if that's what we do in our worship this morning, if we once again point to Jesus. If that's why we gather as God's people, when we come to worship, we're showing the world that we're trying to point our lives towards Jesus. I mean, this Jesus, he is the creator, the redeemer, the breaker of chains, the one who deepens our faith. And so with all those identity shift moments that you find yourself in, like the beginning of school, we need to remind ourselves of a few details. You see, when we ask the question, who do you say that I am, we need to take that first step of identity with the same starting point. And in Isaiah, it says, the scripture we lifted up this morning, look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. In moments of transition in life, whether it's a new school, a new job, maybe you're joining a new family. I mean, whatever you are starting in your life, I mean, Jesus turned to his new band of brothers and says, who do you say that I am? And it's amazing that they started with this definition of old, that you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Remember the quarry from which you were hewn. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. I mean, all of us this morning came from the same source of life, the same quarry. And I wonder if we forget that in those moments of identity. I mean, this should unite us. It should unite our cause. It should unite our same purpose that we have in this world. And that purpose then is given to Peter. Peter, this rock who sank a couple weeks ago in the waters, is the one who's going to build the church. And Jesus says, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In pastor circles, we have a certain term for this text. It's called the office of the keys. There's a reason on the front page or the second page of your bulletin, there's a couple keys hanging there. It's the office of the keys. That as pastors, we are called into the church, into the office of the keys, to provide forgiveness when there's repentance, and to withhold forgiveness when there is no repentance. I mean, the office of the keys started in the beginning portion of our service this morning when we had confession and forgiveness. This is part of the office that we are called into. You see, we confess together as one body of Christ in that moment, and then we were freed together in forgiveness as the same one body of Christ. I mean, the office of the keys, when you read that verse, I'm not only called to offer forgiveness, and yes, it's a tremendous gift, it's the gift of reconciliation. It can be transformative in those moments of pain in our lives. But with the office of the keys, we're also invited to withhold forgiveness when repentance is not offered. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot harder to withhold forgiveness than it is to offer it. But this passage this morning, Jesus is inviting all of us to reflect on who the Messiah is in our church and in our homes, in our own hearts. And when we can come to that definition that Jesus is the Messiah, this Lord of all, this one who is coming into the world, then all of us get to have the keys of the kingdom. All of us get to be a part of that forgiveness given towards the world. You see, Jesus talked about Peter being this rock. This rock, or maybe this foundation where the church is going to be built. But in other scriptures, it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. That Jesus is that cornerstone that holds up the walls, right? So I'm wondering with you today, with your definitions of Christ, if you can reflect on the quarry in which you're hewn that is mentioned in Isaiah. I'm wondering if your life can also be a cornerstone. I'm wondering if your life can be a cornerstone because the cornerstones are on the edges of the building. And as a body of Christ, we are called into the edges of society, into the edges of our culture. And with that, I wonder if we could get edgy with our ever too comfortable images of Jesus. I wonder if we could get edgy with our images of Jesus so that we can actually go into the world and offer the suffering world true hope. So Jesus, you are the Messiah. You're this roaring lion that is proclaiming love into the world that just wants to hold on to the power. Jesus, you are our life, our God, our beacon of hope. Transform us into your people. Unite us with the same cause that took you to the cross. Bring us your deliverance. Lift up our eyes. God, you are our people. You are our God, and we are your people. Amen.